of his underlings. He was an out-of-touch tower dweller, far removed from doing his job. Alternatively, if he were in command of the plumbers, he was the president most dedicated to ruining the office, possibly of and for all time. Boy, did those choices piss off most everybody. And by way of editorial comment, I said the same thing about Ronnie Reagan during the Iran-Contra affair. What? He didn't know? All this crap was going on, money funneled here, money diverted there, arms to the Iranians in exchange for the hostages, and the profits were then diverted to the Central American terrorists in Nicaragua. And he didn't know? Then he should be impeached for simple misfeasance of his job. Oh, wait, he knew? Well, that one's easy. But that's when Katherine Graham or somebody came along and said, you know, the American people cannot withstand another constitutional crisis. No, the American Republic can always withstand a constitutional crisis. What we cannot withstand is too many more crises of backbone. Because we're living without a lot of it. So to get back to what David said, now we have Barack Obama. Is he the empty suit, as Kate has said, triangulating and polling his way to that second term by any means necessary? Or has he become a dupe and a stooge of those that love and profit from war? I am not at all impressed with his coming actions, even if they are some mind trick to give both sides what they want till October of 2010. Damn, if the plan is to head fake a larger war and then tell us, look, see there, the Afghans aren't doing their part, we're leaving now. If that's the plan, F him. Leave now, damn it! The Afghans were the Afghans, are the Afghans, and will remain the Afghans. 1, 2, or 3 years of our people dying there will not change the place. In closing, David says, this whole thing pains me. Amen. For my part, I was engaged in a little discussion today about how so-called environmental groups should respond to this escalation. And I said, you know, for me it was like, what, there's a question? You're not sure? Maybe we should support this? And I'm not talking about any of the environmental groups that you're familiar with, that I'm familiar with me being associated with. I'm not talking about. And I just said, damn, look. Here we sit in the middle of Appalachia. Hill people being bombed daily by corporate America and poisoned thereby by heavy metals. Yeah, mercury, selenium, yeah. On the other side of the planet is Afghanistan. Hill people being bombed daily by munitions made by corporate America and toxified by heavy metals. Depleted uranium, lead. Same, same. God Almighty, if I'm an environmentalist, then I have a duty to oppose this. This ramping up of the nightmare in Afghanistan. I have a duty to oppose it. Not a preference. Not a coin toss. Not a, you know, well, if you get the chance, you might want to think about saying something. No! I have a duty. I have something that lies upon my heart and my soul and the core of my integrity to oppose this. Because if I, a part of a community that is assaulted by 3.5 million pounds of high explosives a day, if I can look away from Afghanistan, then the rest of the godforsaken world can look away from me. And mine. And my friends. And we dare not call out to the rest of the country and say, see the plight that is going on in Appalachia. Why should they care? I will not be the second traveler on the road to pass the wounded, beaten man. I will not be. Call me a filthy hippie. Call me a tree hugger. Call me unclean. Call me what you will, but say that when people were under siege, that when human beings' very lives were in the balance, that I at least had the moral courage to stand up and say, God damn it, no! And if you can say that of me, then I can sleep at night. And I can have a clear conscience. So that's my side of it. To offer you another side, from the internet's most brilliant satirist and all-around brilliant man, Eugene Finnerman at FinnermanWorks.com, he dropped me a note letting me know that this was going to post. A little piece called How to Conquer Afghanistan. How can Barack Obama succeed where Sean Connery and Michael Caine failed? Before his impending performance of the man who would be president, Mr. Obama should first consider the successful invasions of Afghanistan. Yes, contrary to the media's incessant references to the graveyard of empires, Afghanistan has been conquered a number of times. The Russians certainly failed. But Afghanistan has succumbed to the Persians, the Greeks, the Mongols, and even the British. And do you think the country became Muslim just through Arab charm? History tells us that there are two different approaches to conquering Afghanistan. The first may be summarized as force and finesse. This strategy concedes that Afghanistan is practically ungovernable, and the best you can do is to tilt the anarchy in your favor. Conquer Kabul, anyone can do that, and then start negotiating with the various tribes that actually rule the region. In return for acknowledging your titular control, you'll ally yourself with one tribe against another. Try picking the most grateful or least treacherous tribe. And that really can be the challenge. This was the Persian approach, and after 3 years of fighting mountain to mountain, Alexander adopted it too. He even married the daughter of a tribal chieftain, that rare instance when politics makes straight bedfellows. Alexander, however, thought that Bactria, as Afghanistan was then known, could use another tribe, a colony of Greeks. Eugene's not kidding. He even built towns for these outposts of Hellenization. The city of Kandahar, as we've noted on this program, originally was named Alexandria. The Greek hold of Bactria lasted some 2 centuries, and their culture pervaded beyond those borders. In northern India, the statues of Buddha looked remarkably like Apollo. The British Empire had no real interest in Afghanistan, as it has been known since the 18th century. But it was an unruly neighbor of India, which the British did dearly covet. So the British thought that a show of force might induce some tranquility among the warring Afghan tribes. In 1839, a British army of 21,000 occupied the major cities of Afghanistan and anointed a pet prince to be the region's emir. There was so little resistance that nearly 2/3 of the army returned to India. However, the British optimism proved premature. Of the 30s.
go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! You know, every Thanksgiving Day when I'm working in the kitchen and preparing the turkey, and I think about how good that turkey's going to be, I think, you know, we ought to have turkey more often. I don't know why we don't have turkey more than, you know, once or twice a year. But then after a couple of days of eating turkey leftovers, the first of which are always a joy, but the last of which are done out of a sense of, oh, I don't know, obligation, you realize why you don't have turkey more than once a year. Yeah. Even the little horde of locusts, otherwise known as our kids, kind of got turkey turned off. But it's Monday, and we are past the Thanksgiving holiday. With any luck, we'll have several good shows this week, 5 hopefully. And a week from now, there will be. I doubt there will be a show on Monday evening. Because the big action rally protest at the West Virginia Department of Environmental Permitting, I mean protection, takes place a week from today. Cross your fingers for some good weather, would you? Please? Appreciate it. But no, we're past the Thanksgiving holiday. And it was nice to have a couple of days off, but, I'm still not sure what day it is. I spent all day Thursday thinking it was Saturday, all day Friday thinking it was Sunday. And then Saturday and Sunday were just a total loss to me. Right, you get it. So, there I am. I think we're going to have a lovely Monday evening of being sort of catty and gossipy and talking about just sort of visualizing the image of Mrs. Tiger Woods chasing Mr. Tiger Woods down the street in their McMansion community. Sorry, I had a strange noise going on and I couldn't find it. I found it. It was the air mattress pumper upper that had accidentally gotten turned on inside a drawer. And, it's like having the klaxon going off in the submarine and not being able to find the leak. It's very disturbing. Anyway, I thought we'd have a little fun with, sort of visualizations of Mrs. Tiger Woods in her pink robe and fuzzy slippers chasing Cletus Tiger Woods down the road to the trailer park, whomping on his car with the golf club. And I thought, that'd be just a hell of a fine old time. Right? Wrong. Because before I could ever, it would have been gossipy and it would have been just catty and awful, but it would have been a little bit of a relief from the annual day-to-day march through misery, hell, and death that this program seems so often to be, for which I profoundly apologize. But it ain't like I'm the right wingers doing that stuff. But no. Oh, damn, Mr. and Mrs. Tiger would have made such wonderful members of Moran Monday, wouldn't they? Can't you just say, Tiger, you come back here now, you come back here, you philandering Tiger, you! Because, she's thievish. Don't you know? Oh, it would have been fun. It would have been fun. But no. Instead of that, we've got Moran Monday. But even instead of Moran Monday, what do we got? I'll tell you what we got. We got the FFM at work. No, I am not talking about the future farmers of Maryland or future farmers of Maine or Michigan or Mississippi. Did I miss any M states? Missouri! Not talking about them either. I'm talking about fundamentalists facilitating murder. Or perhaps, subject to your vote and approval, fundamentalists fomenting massacre. Because we've got two examples of it on the radar this evening. Lottie, yeah, Bob, when it finally gets down to the turkey milkshakes, I'm about done for the year with turkey. We weren't far from the turkey milkshakes, and I got to tell you, Lottie's pumpkin pie recipe, sweet potato pie recipe, is just killer with white sweet potatoes. It has a slightly different color by the time you're done with it because of all the spices and so forth, but I'm convinced that white sweet potatoes are slightly less pulpy and woody than yellow ones. But that's just, oh my God, it was good. And you can absolutely lose your mind making that topping. Oh! I made four. Which didn't have taken more than two to do dessert after Thanksgiving dinner. No. They were gone. I mean, not a speck. Oh, they're good. But anyway, going back to the FFM. It could also be fundamentalists facilitating misery too, because we got that story as well. It's not exactly prayer meeting Wednesday, but there's just some stories you can't put off. You can't make wait for the show schedule to roll around into proper synchronization. This ain't the Mayan calendar, you know? So obviously, you can't not. You know what happened? You know what happened out in Washington State, you know what happened. Happened yesterday, the 29th of November. And it is believed that Maurice Clemens shot dead four Lakewood, Washington police officers. Just went in and gunned them down. Killed them. Destroyed the families. It's hard to talk about. I can't begin to comprehend the agony of those families, or any family so subjected. Felon with a firearm shattered those families. And here's where the FFM part comes in, if you don't already know. Radical fundamentalist cleric and Fox News the TV gas bag and former Arkansas governor who believe and father of a man who beats captive dogs to death as they hang from a tree, Mike Huckabee, was governor of Arkansas when Maurice Clemens sought clemency. And there was a host of law enforcement officials who said, "Good God, Mr. Governor, Don't give clemency to this guy. He's a bad seed. He needs to remain in prison."
One of those people was Larry Jegley. Larry Jegley is the prosecuting attorney for Pulaski County in Arkansas. They called him and told him what had happened up in Lakewood, Washington. And he said, "This is the day I've been dreading for a long, long time." In the year 2000, almost 10 years ago, in the year 2000 in Arkansas, Maurice Clemens was a prisoner with 5 felony convictions.
Thank you. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you.